bed, not even eat dinner. And I was thinking, well, you know, I get tired sometimes. I didn't think much about it. So that would have been a clue, but then he started having these headaches, and I'm thinking, gosh, and then I called him that Friday before the 11th, I guess it was, sometime around the 10th, and I called him at work. He went, Chris, I'm so glad you called. I want to go to the hospital. So I knew something was going on. So we went to the hospital. They gave him morphine for the headaches, trying to get rid of the pain. And it did pretty good. So then they gave him morphine again, did pretty good. Then later they said, well, we're going to give you morphine again, and that we're going to give him another dose of it, and then y'all can go home. So Kimmy and I were sitting in there in the emergency room, and David started convulsing. And so we started running down the hall screaming, and I mean, everybody came in there, but he came back, and he was fine. He looked at everybody going, what happened, you know? And, well, something happened. I don't know what happened, but it definitely was something. So they admitted him. Sunnyvale Hospital out there, they did every kind of brain scan. They did MRIs, MRAs. They did everything for him. And they just couldn't come up with an answer. So he started on Saturday night where he couldn't swallow. They gave him a pain pill and he just couldn't swallow it. And the nurse and I looked at each other and said, he's aspirated. So we didn't know it. So Sunday morning, you know how sweet your precious little preacher is. Sunday morning, they come in and they go, Mr. Whitmore, how you doing? He goes, I'm fine. I'm waiting for my breakfast right here. I've cleaned off my little table. Can you see it? And I'm going to want my breakfast right there. And they went, oh, Mr. Whitmore, you can't eat today. And I didn't know it. He was on morphine. Now he went, this is bullshit. I want my breakfast. And he just started slamming down. He went, I want my breakfast. Did you see my table? It's all cleared off. And, oh, man, it just went on. He went on a rant and rave. He was so hungry. So I laughed. I couldn't help it because it was someone like him. And so then later that day, he was trying to swallow. He goes, you know what? They were right. I can't swallow. So all on his left side, his voice box and all those muscles were all paralyzed, and they didn't understand why. So they did more tests. They decided to do the endoscopy, and his blood pressure shot real high. And so they kept him in this isolated area where they take when you are recovering. We didn't know where he was. No doctor talked to us. I was so upset. It was just awful. I said, I'm just going to take him away from here. And this main doctor said, no, let us try everything. You know, we're doing everything we can. And they did. But they did have the courage to come up and go, we don't know what's wrong with him. We're going to have to transfer him. And I said, well, okay. So that was another hump we had to go through. So now he can't swallow. He can't eat anything.
He lost his voice.
And his voice changed right after that scope went down his throat. He talked real high like that. And he went, I've got to get that. Then he would talk real low and he would go, he would start doing the Godfather and stuff. Hey, you want to meet my little friend? And all this kind of stuff. He kept us laughing the whole time. And so they transferred him to downtown Baylor. Just no easy way to get into that hospital. But we made it, and he was very, very helpful. Very helpful. And that was on a Thursday, and they kept doing tests, kept doing more tests. They came back and said that he had definitely had a stroke on his brain stem, but that it was an old stroke, and that it wouldn't have anything to do with the swallowing stuff. So on the morning that he passed away, the neurologist came in and he goes, Mr. Whitmore, every blood vessel that's going up into your brain is blocked or partially blocked. He said, your brain is a mess. And David went, wait a minute, what, can you do something about that? He goes, we got to find out why you can't swallow. Why those two? I would think the brain would have been important, but he said, no, don't worry about it. We're going to find out. They also were going to do muscle tests. They thought maybe he had a muscle deficiency, as in, you know, MD or Lou Gehrig's or something along those lines. So he wasn't too happy about all that, but he said, it's okay, baby, you know, it's gonna be okay. I said, God's with you. And he had a ton of visitors. I mean, all the time people come in and see him. And we would pray with him. All the grandkids came and prayed with him. And, you know, it was just something. And then we were just there talking to the neurologist. And then it was me, Kimmy, and Isabella. And she, when we came in, she went right to Pops and said, I love you, Pops. And he wanted to know what toy she had and stuff. And we were just all there. And then, I don't know, we were just sitting there. And then all of a sudden, he started convulsing again. I said, Kim, get help. So she went out down the hall screaming. And I mean, within seconds, people were there. And it just so happens there was a lady across, kind of down the hall. She was there for her mother. She took Isabella and played on her phone, occupied her the whole time this was going on so she wouldn't know what was going on. And they came in there, and I just sat right there in the chair. Kimmy got on the phone and started calling all the kids. And they were just, you know, Mr. Whitmore, Mr. Whitmore, and moving him here, moving him there, and trying to do all this stuff. And I stayed in there until they put him on a backboard so they could do CPR. I couldn't handle that. They kept going, Miss Whitmore, you want to get up? I'm like, no, I'm praying for my husband. Leave me alone. So I just kept praying, God, please, God, please. And so Kim and I made our way outside the hall. Then they start going, code blue, code blue. You know, bring the crash cart. Well, you know what happens when that happens. Just nothing ever good comes out of that. And Kim and I just sat there, and we just, you know, cried together. And it was just going, David, please. And they did everything they could. The neurologist came, and I said, how long before he, you know, has brain damage? He said, we can only do it about 10 more minutes or so, then he'll be brain. I said, I don't want him on the machine. He wouldn't want that. Don't want him brain dead, you know, all this kind of stuff. And he said, well, so he went back in there. He started convulsing wildly, like legs moving and arms fluttering around. They gave him Ativan, and I mean, there was probably 20 people in there screaming and hollering. And, you know, it was just, it was awful. So Kim and I just sat there in the chair. They called the chaplain. The weirdest thing happened. The doctor, one of the main doctors came out, and he grabbed my hand. He goes, Ms. Whitmore, we're doing everything we can for your husband. And right before that, peace fell on me. And God told me, I'm taking him home today. And I had so much peace. Of course, you know, I cried, but the doctor came out and was, Ms. Whitmore, we're going to do everything we can. We're going to get him stable. I said, you can do whatever it is you want to, but God's taking him home today. No, ma'am, we're going to get him stable. It's going to be okay. And I went, do what you want to, but he's gone to be with the Lord. So I don't know if he thought I was voodoo or what, but I just knew in my heart that God had told me that, and that he was going to be okay. He kept telling us that day, didn't he, Kim? I just want to go home. Well, God took him home, but that home up there, and I never got mad at God. Because let me tell you, God's too worthy to be praised, no matter what. And they kept working on him, working on him. And then I saw the neurologist, they just quit. You know. It was just too long. So I told them I wanted to go see him. And of course they go, we got to get him all cleaned up. So we got to go in there, and I was just going, why didn't you tell me he was sick? I just felt so bad for him. But you know, he wouldn't have wanted to be that way. He wanted to help the disabled, not be so disabled himself he couldn't help y'all. And I wouldn't want him to have brain damage or whatever. So they said, you've got the room for 4 hours. So by that time, all the kids started piling in, and everybody went to say goodbye to him. And he wasn't there, you know. But we got to say goodbye to his physical body. And then I called all the kids in. I said, do y'all care if I donate any of the organs or tissues or whatever? And they went, no, that'd be great. You know, David always says, do something good for somebody. And that day he did. He's going to be able to help hundreds of people. And that made me feel good because he was too good of a man just to let his body go like that. He's going to be able to help children that have cleft palates. He's going to be able to help women that have double mastectomies and they need skin for that. With his cornea and the whites of his eyes, he's going to be able to help people that are almost blind. The ligaments and tendons in his legs, they said they can help people that have had amputations and stuff. I mean, it's just the list is endless of what he can do to help them, and that's what I want for Whitmore. He would still want to be giving. So that's what we did. It was a long day, and we all came back to my house, and of course, my sister came over, and friends came over, people brought food, and we got so tickled. I'll tell the story I was telling. I was taking Pastor Thacker home because he came out there, and one of our friends that we haven't seen him in a long time, but they breed dogs, and pretty much they talk about their dogs all the time. So I was driving, and I was talking to Larry, and Kimmy goes, "Mom, such and such wants to come over," and I was going, "No." And then she went, "She's going to bring a honey baked ham." I went, "Yes, let her go." I mean, that's just how my mind was. But I thought Whitmore would eat. So, and then she said, "Oh, Mom, they've already closed." And I went, "Oh, man." But they brought the best barbecue, so it worked out. But it's just so funny things you do, you know, how you react. But, I mean, Whitmore did a lot for people that you don't even know all the things that he did. And how we would argue over some of the things that he did. But he loved this church, and I just want him to be recognized for being such a faithful servant to the Lord. He did love this church, and he loved y'all. And I just want, if anybody wants to say something, they can, since you're not going to have that opportunity next week. Because I think there's going to be a lot of people here. I know like 40 just from his work. Yes, Dee Dee.
Last Sunday, when I got the letter and had us to pray up here, I knew something was going on there because it felt like we had a film. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting there and I said, "Well, it's time to have a film and start having." You know? Anyway, I thank God that I came to this church and met you all. With this church.
Me too.
Y'all have been so wonderful. The thing that I was God.
Yes, yeah.
Because really, truly, it's David.
Yeah.
God picked a beautiful flower. He got a beautiful heart.
He did, to be so.
And he cared about so many people.
He did. He cared about everybody. And that I'm just amazed of all the things, I mean, the flood of things that come through my mind, the things that he did that nobody knew about but me. I mean, I'm amazed of how patient he was. You know, I go, "Don't go do that, David. This is family time." He went, "Chris, I'm called to do this." And he felt guilty because he had a full-time job.
Chris?
Yes.
I remember back when my dad was alive and David had come out twice. Because I couldn't handle them. Dad kept turning the electricity, the lights off in every room, and I couldn't keep him from turning it on. So finally David came out, not once, but twice, mm-hmm. to talk my dad into leaving electricity on. And then he talked to him, I said, "Well, Dad, if you're concerned about it, you can pay for it."
Yeah, right. If you want them on, let's get the money out for the bills. David did not have any life insurance. My dream is that I can stay in the house. We refinanced the house, so we have a mortgage because we wanted to make it open where it was all closed. It was real little. Ruth and Kathy and the Pottses, whoever came over, it was just real little. We opened it all up. And so we're still paying on that. But if God can find a way, because I want to stay in this area and I want the band to be there, you know, and there's things that I want, but obviously it's not all about me, because God showed me that last Monday that I've got my, see, God can see the whole parade.
Amen.
He knew what was in the past, he knew what's going on today, and he knows what's in the future. We only see what was happening in the past and what's happening today. So, you know, I don't know what he has. Some of my friends, well, so happened that William, you know, the Gobers came to church here for a while. His dad passed away. They had to take him off the respirator. And William was already inconsolable. Is that how you said it? Inconsolable. Because of David. And so we went to the funeral. But he was just so, he loved David so much. He just kept kissing him by, you know, the other day. And I don't know where this was leading. What was this leading to? I have no idea. Anyway, so we went to that funeral. And, you know, there's just things that you do that you think you can't do. So he had all this scheduled out. God did. You know, it would be easy, and there's people in here that have had several deaths in their family. It would be easy just to go, okay, God, I don't like what you're doing, forget it. But you can't do that. You have to keep loving God and praising him no matter what.
Amen.
This heart is broken. I mean, he was my life. We've been together like 39 years. We finally got married when I was pregnant with Kimmy. And, you know, he was a great guy. He was my best bud. We did everything together. We watched football games. You know how he is about football. And he wanted to watch The Voice and American Idol and all that stuff. And he wanted to watch America's Got Talent. So, you know, we're still going to do stuff like that because that's what he liked. And he would get so upset. You can ask Edith on Sundays. Don't tell me what the Cowboys score is because he'd have it recorded. He'd have it all recorded. So when he goes, I can't go in the nursing home. They have a TV on there. Tell me what the score is. I mean, it was just ridiculous sometimes.
He and I agreed that I won't tell him the score one way or the other. But I told him, you'll be happy when you leave.
Yeah.
Or you won't be happy to have it.
But he loved those Cowboys. That's what, in fact, that's what him and William talked about last time that they went and saw him. And that was it. People go, well, I just saw him and he was so hopeful. But even Kathy said, you know, he hugged me and he never hugs me. He held Ruth's hand all the time. He held Kimmy's hand and my hand and Lindsay's hand all the time. I think he knew something. He wanted to show us how much he loved us because he didn't ever say it very much. I mean, I go, David, do you love me? Sure I do. Well, really? But I know he did. He's a great guy. His boss came and said, I'll pay for the cremation, whatever you want. You remember David wanted me to sprinkle his ashes over Walmart so I would see him almost every day. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be determined not to. But, you know, I think back to he was more hard of hearing, and I think that was just another indication that he wasn't getting enough oxygen. And I just wish we had known, you know, maybe we could have done something, but that's what ifs and all that, and God is sovereign, so it's just, it's kind of like having a baby. You want to talk about it over and over and over. Somehow it makes it better for you to hear it. So does anybody have any questions or you want to say something or whatever? Now's his time. Ruth.
I had a dream every night about him. And every time I do, I talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells me what to do. And he told me not to worry about anything, that Chris and Kathy could work everything out at the church, working together. I said, well, who's going to be the leader? He said, they will work together.
Well,
so now y'all got to do it. I don't take any help.
Oh, well. Lots of times I had to be in the middle between him and Kathy.
Yeah.
And I would go, boy, you better work it out. That's all I'm telling you. But he was a precious person.
He was.
I just love him. He was a lot like his parents. You know, he always said he had a drug problem. Always drugged to church in the mornings and the afternoons and at the night and on Wednesdays. Every time that door came up, we were drugged to church. And they would have to ride the bus to and from, you know. And it's good. I'm glad that he was, because he was a mighty man for God.
Every time I came in his church, he'd give me and tell me you love me.
Uh-huh.
And I said, I know you do. I said, but you better behave yourself or you'll be in trouble. He said, I know, Will.
Mm-hmm. He was in trouble a lot. One thing that aggravated me, if Kimmy or I cooked, we'd have stuff on the stove. He would go there and eat out of the pot. You know, what's this? I went, don't do that. Don't do that. I hated it. I don't know why. Just put it on your plate and eat it. I gotta taste it, see if I like it or not. Oh my gosh, I get so aggravated with him. Well, just don't taste it. Because then you have to get a new spoon out to serve it. Oh, I was just so frustrated with him sometimes. He was something. He was. We always had to watch Blue Bloods at night when we fell asleep. I can't tell you how many things I was in with the police trying to discover who murdered who. Because I would dream about it while it was on. But he loved Law and Order. He loved Blue Bloods. He loved anything. The Mystery Channel. Oh, yeah. Him and Kim would watch the ID Channel over and over and over again. Can't you watch something that's happy? No, this is interesting. Oh, okay. So he would fall asleep with that remote in his hand, and I would just gently go over there and try to get it out. And he'd go, I'm listening to that. I said, well, what did they say? I don't know, but I was listening. Oh, okay. So he's got the biggest remote there ever is now. But I know that Anna Ruth and Don were very happy to see him. His best friend that he grew up with passed away. Well, his birthday is June the 3rd. I know, and he got to see my sisters and my parents, and I don't know how excited he was to see them, but they were excited to see him. You know how mother-in-laws are. And, but he was a great man. I just, you know, I feel so happy for him and less sad for me. But when I'm at home fixing it in bed, I feel more sad for me and less happy for him. So it's just, it's going to take a while. It really is. But God would want us here at this church. God wants this church to keep going. David wanted this church to keep going. So we all got to be faithful servants and do our part and do something good for somebody. So that's what we're going to do. And we're going to try. And Larry and I talked about, you know, we need to get more people in here and stuff. And I think David's going to be able to help us with that. So if nobody else wants anything else, I'll say a prayer and then we can get on with the services. And we're going to go over to my daughter Lindsay's house tonight and come up with a bulletin and try to get the things out of the way that you don't like to do. And I appreciate Larry. He was up there several times with the pastor, and he really did love Pastor Thacker. Yeah, that's my bud. I know him and Tim would go out visiting places and stuff. I mean, he loved all of y'all. It just, everybody meant something to him. It really, really did. He really, really loved you. I mean, I just haven't met a pastor that loves his people so much, but he did. And I want that. I want to love you like he did. And if y'all give me a chance, I still want to stay at this church for a while and do things. And, you know, things are going to be different, but it's going to be okay because God is a sovereign God, and he's not going to just go off and leave us now. So let's go to the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for David. We thank you for this church. And we know you're going to heal our hearts, Father. Our hearts are so broken. But I know you're going to fix that too. So God, I pray for this church at 6929 Day Street. I pray that you would flourish it. I pray that people would come. Lord, I pray we'd have able people to do things for our church. And I just give this church to you in Jesus' name. I thank you for Ruth and Larry and Don and Kathy for all they do for this church. May you give them the patience and the drive and motivation to finish out what they're supposed to do. Oh, Lord, I just keep thinking I can't cry anymore because it hurts so bad to cry. But I'm missing God, and I know you know that. So I pray for the service today. May it be an honor and for David. May it be an honor for you, Lord, because you're so worthy to be praised. Ask you all these things in my Christ's name only. Amen. Amen. Thank you.